What's the secret to contentment? In Philippians 4, Paul shares his profound discovery. I've learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. Even under house arrest, with a rationed diet and cut off from friends, Paul found contentment by focusing on what he had rather than on what he lacked. Keep listening to discover how appreciating whatever you have, accepting wherever you are, and depending on Christ's strength can transform your life.
Well, today we're setting sail one last time into this little letter from the Apostle Paul to the Philippian church. This church was dear to Paul because of their personal concern for him, but they actually went farther than just being concerned. They go down in history as the only local church who financially supported the Apostle Paul. Imagine that. Now, Paul isn't asking for more money with this letter. This is really, in many ways, a missionary letter back to his sending church. This is a thank you letter from Paul to this little assembly in Philippi. Now, Paul has sensed in this little church a spirit of anxiety, and we covered that in our last wisdom journey through the first 9 verses of chapter 4. Paul also evidently senses a little bit of discontentment. So he's going to write here in very personal terms about something he's learned in life. He calls it a secret. It's the secret of contentment. Now with that, Paul writes here in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Now remember, beloved, as Paul is writing this, he's guarded by Roman soldiers. He's under house arrest. He's eating a rationed diet. There are no home-cooked meals here for him. He's cut off from his friends and even his desire to reach Rome with the gospel of Christ. So how can Paul find contentment in these kinds of circumstances? Well, here's the secret. He's going to focus on what he has, not on what he lacks. Well, what does he have? He has tangible evidence of the Philippians' concern for him. He has a financial gift sent from them to meet his needs in Rome. He has their love. He has their prayer support. And in all of this, he's rejoicing. When you and I learn this secret, to appreciate whatever we do have, and accept wherever we are, well, we're on the way to living with contentment. What's the opposite? Discontentment. And let me tell you, discontentment bears the fruit of discouragement and disillusionment and growing dissatisfaction no matter where you are in life. Have you ever met somebody in the winter who can't wait until spring? And then somebody in the spring, maybe that same person, complains of the pollen and, well, they can't wait for the summer. The truth is, we're a lot like Adam and Eve, aren't we? We might have everything we need. It's a perfect garden, but there's always one more thing we want. Now, this secret of contentment isn't discovered in our own hearts. It isn't found, you know, by believing in ourselves. Contentment is found when we begin to abandon everything to the control of Christ. Paul writes that very thing here in this next verse, verse 13. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. Well, that's another way of saying I can't do anything without Christ living in me and through me. Think of it this way. If Albert Einstein had inhabited my 11th grade body back there in high school, I would not have flunked Algebra 1. I would have taught the class. If Rembrandt could have moved into my body and taken over my eyes and hands, well, I would have painted a masterpiece worth millions of dollars. If Mozart could move into my body and I abandoned to him the control of my mind and fingers and imagination, well, I could sit down and write a symphony. Listen, the secret to contentment is not trying harder. It's inviting Jesus Christ to take over, to take over your hands, your imagination, your thoughts, your mind, and your body. And when that takes place, you can say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ. Now, I've heard a lot of well-meaning believers who take this verse out of context to mean, I can do anything I want to do through Christ. Beloved, if that were true, I could claim this verse. Well, I could go write that symphony, or I could try to paint that masterpiece. It isn't going to happen. The all things that Paul says he can do through Christ are related to what he's just written. He can suffer hardship. He can go hungry without resentment. He can handle affluence without becoming complacent. He can be mistreated without becoming bitter. How? Through this secret he's learned, which is this: to appreciate whatever you have and accept wherever you are as you depend upon the power of Christ. And let me tell you, one of the biggest ways you can make this secret of contentment real in your own life today is to do what Paul does next. He's going to spend the rest of this letter thanking other people in his life. In fact, here in verses 14 through 20, we find nothing less than a thank you letter from Paul. And he says in verse 14, it was kind of you to share in my trouble. The word he uses for share means to have fellowship with me. So Paul sees their financial gift, their prayer support, as an extension of their fellowship with him in his gospel ministry. So Paul isn't looking at their gift as a simple offering of charity or a little money thrown his way. It's literally a partnership with him in bringing the gospel to the world. Everybody in the church can't go to the missionary fields of the world, can they? But everybody can send someone. Everybody can give to a missionary. Everybody can pray for those who serve vocationally. This is actual partnership in the ministry. And get this incredible statement here in verse 17. Paul writes, not that I seek the gift, that is finances, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Did you catch that? Paul says that their financial and prayer support makes his fruit in church planting and disciple making their fruit. So giving is really nothing less than investing, and the dividends are going to be tallied one day when we all stand before the Lord. So all that to say, Paul isn't after their money. He's actually happy with what they're giving, and that their giving to him is actually going to return in benefiting them. He reminds them that they're investing in eternity with their financial gifts, investing in something that's going to endure forever, something that's going to outlast all of the empires on planet Earth. Now, with that here in verse 19, Paul reassures them, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The Philippians were giving money to Paul when they had their own financial needs. But Paul says here that God will give to them according to his riches. Now be careful here. The riches of God don't mean a new car in the driveway. God's riches are an eternal inheritance, unimaginable joy in our future home and even in life today. Paul is leading them to understand that as they invest in the needs of others, God is entirely aware of their own needs. And to have a God who loves us and cares for us, why, Paul can't seem to contain himself here. At verse 20, he writes in this little burst of praise, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me tell you, beloved, this sounds like a very contented man. We often think, and perhaps you're aware of George Mueller with his orphanages in England during the 1800s, As a Christian leader, he was in constant need of food and finances, and the Lord would provide, sometimes miraculously. The unknown story of Mueller is that he would often send some of his own money to support other missionaries. One of those missionaries was a man named Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China. One day, Mueller wrote Hudson a letter that read in part as follows: "My dear brother, the work of the Lord in China is more and more laid on my heart, and I thought it might be a little encouragement to you in your difficulties, trials, hardships, and disappointments to hear of one more person who felt for you and who remembered you before the Lord." Well, enclosed with that little note was a check that in today's economy would be worth $1,000. Now, did George Mueller have needs of his own? Oh, yes, he did. But like the Apostle Paul, he was on his way to learning the secret of contentment. And what is that again? Well, it's appreciating whatever you have. It's accepting wherever you are. And we could add this one final thought. It also is investing in whomever you can for the glory of God. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. As we wrap up Philippians 4, remember Paul's secret to contentment: appreciating what you have, accepting where you are, and depending on Christ's strength. If you'd like additional resources to help you grow in your spiritual life, we have a devotional magazine that will help you. Our monthly magazine is called Heart to Heart. We send this resource as a gift to all of our financial partners, but we'd like to send you the next 3 issues as our gift to you. In our magazine, you'll find articles written by Stephen to help you walk wisely through life. He shares practical insights that relate to the issues you face. For example, some of the past topics have included things such as why God allows pain into our lives, what's the Christian's relationship with angels and the spirit world, what are some of the important differences between Christianity and Islam. These are the kinds of issues that Christians are thinking about, and this resource helps bring biblical clarity. In addition, there's a daily devotional guide. Those devotionals are written by Stephen's son, Seth Davey, and they'll take you deep into God's Word. It's an opportunity for you to begin your day or end your day in Scripture. If you'd like to receive this resource, give us a call today at 866-48-BIBLE. That's 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. Call today, then join us back here next time on The Wisdom Journey.